You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Brannon
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Let's go straight out to the HRP guest line, being joined by Matt Miller at NFL Draft Scout on Twitter. Covers the NFL for ESPN, their draft analyst and insider. Matt, thanks for taking a few minutes hanging out with the Killer Bees. Texans have had a few big moves already early in free agency. What have you thought of these moves that Nick Caserio has made for the Houston Texans to date?
Well, questionable, guys. Thanks for having me on. I like some of it. I'm a little confused by others. I think notably the weakness of this team last year was the offensive line, especially the interior offensive line. I didn't think Kenyon Green was a building block by any means, but it was surprising to see he and Laremy Tunsil gone. I think there's going to be a lot that comes out as to why those moves were made. But when you have something that wasn't a strength, I think it is questionable to trade your best player on that group in Tunsil. But they obviously think that they can rebuild this thing on the fly. I like the addition of Lakin Tomlinson. He's solid, if not spectacular. He'll be a good one-year starter. I really like the idea of adding in a Christian Kirk with the, you know, uncertainty around Tank Dell and his injury future, certainly. And then, you know, this defense looks like it's going to be nasty. To add a C.J. Gardner-Johnson at safety, I loved Kalen Bullock coming out last year of USC. I had a first-round grade on him. To get him in the third round, I thought was a tremendous steal. Big-time Kamari Lassiter fan. And then, obviously, you know, Stingley Jr. is one of the best corners in the game. So it does feel like a team that's being built in D'Amico Ryan's image. And it's going to be a great defense. And I think an offense that they're putting a lot on C.J. Stroud to carry this group a little bit next year.
Matt, I'm curious from the standpoint now of where do we go from here and what do they do, as we all have been scratching our temple a little bit. When you look at the draft, when you look at the fact that you can let us know what you see, and we know that there are a few at the top of the list in terms of offensive linemen that are going to be available in the first round that Nick might have to trade up to get to. But then from the perspective of how they rebuild this line, you know, Nick's draft history, as well as he's hit on some of the guys that you mentioned and done really well with defensive backs and wide receivers, he hasn't been really had a lot that success rate with offensive linemen. So if they were going to look at the draft as the next step, because they've let a lot of free agents kind of pass by, where would they be looking in the draft, and can they get the kind of players they're looking for?
Yeah, this is not a great offensive line draft. I'll just be honest with you. It's not. And I think teams know that. And we've seen the way that guys like Jalen Moore and Dan Moore getting paid big-time starter money, even though they've not been premier starters in the NFL, shows us how teams feel about this offensive line class. At 25 overall, your hope is that someone somehow falls. You know, you're hoping that a guy like Josh Simmons from Ohio State, who missed half the season with a torn patella tendon and is still, at this point, not yet cleared, you're hoping that he falls and is then healthy, right? And I know they came out and said Titus Howard's going to play left tackle. Blake Fisher, who I liked a lot coming out last year, is going to play right tackle. So I'm not convinced that Josh Simmons would unseat either of those guys in year one coming off that injury. When you look at the interior, and we have to remember, Houston has four picks in the top 90, but they don't have a fourth-round pick. They don't have a sixth-round pick. So you're sitting there with just six draft picks. I think at some point you would probably love to add an offensive guard in round, maybe in round one. Maybe a guy like Tyler Booker or Gray Zabel would be there at 25 in round one. In round two, you're probably hoping for a Tate Ratledge from Georgia, who's a really good player. He's can step right in and play, battled injury a little bit this past year. He's a right guard coming out of Georgia. You're probably hoping that he's available. I don't know that we would see a draft where they would spend three of six picks on the offensive line, right? Because you still have some questions at wide receiver, even after adding a Christian Kirk. Diggs is a free agent out there. Braxton Berrios is going to be a good special teams guy. Justin Watson is an ideal, probably number four, but I think there still could be a situation where they look at the board, depending on what they know about Tank Dell's injury, and say, gosh, do we try to get a wide receiver in here? Do we try to, in a really deep class, do we try to grab a tight end at some point? So with limited draft capital in day three, at least, it does get kind of interesting of like, okay, they've handled a lot on defense in free agency already, and like you mentioned with drafting well in the past, but it does feel like a team that's got some serious needs that have to get filled here without a lot of picks.
Matt Miller joining us on the HR&P guest line. You can follow him on Twitter at NFL Draft Scout. You mentioned a few of the offensive linemen, interior offensive linemen that could be available at 25 that makes sense. What about receivers that could be available there that you think fit what the Texans have put together?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. If you don't bring back Stephon Diggs, there's a guy in this draft who plays a lot like he did coming out of Maryland. That's Luther Burden, the third from Missouri. And there's a shot that he's going to be available in the mid-20s. I think we're all kind of waiting to see where that receiver run happens because, if you guys have noticed, we haven't seen a lot of movement on the free agent side of things with the wide receivers. And that does make me wonder, could teams pull these draftable receivers off the board a little bit earlier than we originally anticipated? But I think Luther Burden would be a great fit. I think Matthew Golden from Texas would be a great fit if you're looking at guys in round one who give you more of that speed, the big playability, a little bit more yards after catch. You have the X in Nico Collins, right? I think what you would love to add is more versatility, more yards after catch. You're getting some of that in Christian Kirk, obviously, but getting a young guy, I would look at Burden and Golden as the two best fits.
Matt, I'm curious. Lance Zierlein speaks highly of you and says hello, by the way. But I was talking to Lance, and I'm curious about you because Lance is one of those guys that almost remembers every draft evaluation he's done on players. But when you look at the Texans' current offensive line and you look at a guy like Green and the fact that he came out in the first round, did you have him that high? Did you recall what you – and even a guy like Juice Scruggs, because talking to Lance and some other people, they're like, well, maybe the Texans reached a little bit, took him too soon. Yes, his versatility is nice, but what do you see of these two guys? Do you remember how you evaluated them?
Yeah, on Kenyon Green, I had around 2 grade on him, which is, you know, where they were drafting him, it's about right, you know, as you expected him to be late first, early second. I thought it was a little bit of a reach at the time, but he was someone that, I mean, everything about him said he was going to become a good starter in the NFL, you know, pretty early, because he was, you know, offensive tackle coming out, had the frame, had the athletic ability, just kind of had a lot of penalties, and I thought he was a lot better at guard than he was at tackle, you know, and that was the big key for him. It's like that last year tackle wasn't as good. Go back, watch him at guard. It's phenomenal. So I'm really surprised with the trajectory of his career, because I thought by this point, you know, we've got a couple seasons in at this point. I really thought that we'd be talking about somebody that was a solid starter. If not, you know, I don't know that it was like he was ever going to be an all pro, but it's like, oh, he'll be pretty solid, you know, at least, because we have that good tape at guard. With Juice Scruggs, I had a third round grade on Juice Scruggs. I liked his pre-draft process quite a bit. So they got him at pick 31 in round 2. So that grade was pretty, pretty close to where they actually drafted him. And I think with the center position, especially, like, you either draft starters pretty early, but very few teams draft a backup center. If you do, it's usually like in the 7th round. So with these center prospects, and it's even the case this year, we're going to see guys get drafted early like Grace Abel, Jared Wilson. There's probably going to be a pretty sizable gap, and it's going to be because guys like Jake Majors from Texas are seen as maybe not that high-end prospect, but, you know, a really good number 2. For Scruggs, the nice thing was that he had that guard-center versatility. He could play on either side. He was a team captain, like super highly spoken of. Just didn't quite have the, I think, some of the hip looseness, flexibility, some of the agility that you normally look for as an interior player.
Being joined on the HR&P guest line by Matt Miller, an NFL draft scout, do you think that Tytus Howard and Blake Fisher's enough at the tackle combo to be competitive in the NFL?
I think, man, it could be. And with Tytus Howard, is such a, I feel like he's still such a work in progress, even though he's been in the league since 2019, right? It's like he was such a piece of clay that needed molded. And I liked Blake Fisher a lot coming out last year. So, like, I'm intrigued, I think, by it, especially for Blake Fisher, more so than Tytus Howard. But, like, Blake could be a really good right tackle. That was the grade on him coming out, right? And so, man, we'll see. It's going to be fascinating. I think in the AFC, you know, you've got some really, really good pass rushers in that division, in that conference. A lot is going to be put on Tytus Howard early. And I think it's almost kind of smart to, like, force the issue, because if it doesn't work, well, then you know going into the 2026 draft that you got to get a tackle and you got to get one in the first round. You know, tackles are seldom found outside of the first round that become really, really good players. So I'm hopeful. And with Blake, you know, he was another young guy. You know, he only started 2 years at Notre Dame, and I think surprised some folks when he came out last year. So he's, you know, a guy that also just needs more reps, needs to see the field more. But I did think he was a starter coming out of there.
Matt, looking at this draft in totality now, because of the fact that we know it's not a big quarterback draft like drafts of the past, but as you analyze this draft and we get closer to draft day, where is the depth? We know that you mentioned that there's not a lot of, you know, quality 1A wide receivers out there like there was even a year or two ago. But at the same time, there's depth in the wide receiver position if you're looking for a 2 or a 3. Where else can we look at the Texans possibly looking in their later drafts, in their later rounds, to try and pick up some depth?
It's a great running back class. And I know, you know, Joe Mixon had a fantastic year last year. If you're wanting to add that number two back, this is the year to do it. I think we might see 30 running backs drafted. It's a great defensive tackle draft. We're going to have a ton of those guys come off the board in the top 100, 120 picks. I think last time I counted, I had 15 defensive tackles in my top 100. So it's just a really, really good group at those two positions. I like the tight end class. It's more so top end heavy. The top 6 or 7 guys are really good. And then there's kind of a little bit of a drop off. I'll tell you, the safety class has kind of snuck up on me. It's one that I've started to like a lot more as I get into some of those day three type players. And I know, obviously, you just got a really good, strong safety in C.J. Gardner-Johnson. But should they decide to, you know, back end of the draft, fill that in a little bit, it is a good year to get a safety, I think, late in day three.
Last one, Matt, I'm going to put you on the spot. You might have answered it just earlier, but if the Texans were either trade up or trade down from 25, which one is it?
I think trade down. Just given, you don't really trade up, in my opinion, unless it's for a quarterback, unless it's like an incremental trade. You know, it just
or it's Will Anderson.
You move it up one or two spots, right? So, or Will Anderson, exactly. So I would say trade back, especially in this draft where the talent level is pretty flat, right? I think the guy that you're going to have rated number 15 and the guy you're going to have rated number 35 are pretty darn close. So I think this is a year where it'd be more advantageous to slide back, pick up some extra picks, and the chances are the guy you were targeting is probably still going to be there.
Yeah. I wonder if everybody thinks like that, though, so it kind of ruins the market of trading down. Should be fascinating.
Usually
Matt,
does,
we
right?
appreciate
yep.
the time. Yeah, yeah. It's going to be fascinating because I've heard that, too, that it's flat. And if it's flat, you know, what does the market look like to trade down? And then all these value charts, I think, get screwed up.
Exactly. And it will be fascinating, you know, to see, do we see a super active draft because there's not consensus, or do we see a little bit of a quiet draft because everyone knows these players are graded out pretty similarly?
Well, Matt, we'll be watching your work as we lead up to the NFL draft. Appreciate you taking time and hope to catch up again as we get closer to the draft.
Sounds great. Thank you.
It's Matt Miller, who covers the NFL draft for ESPN. Does great. Best one in the country, I think. You know, he comes on our show more than Lance does. So I play favorites. I play favorites. Plus, Lance's brother likes to get on to me on Twitter, and I don't really like that. It makes me think lesser of the Zuerlein family.